Hello, and welcome to Things That Go Bump in the Night. This is JC Bratton coming to you from San Jose, California. This is Season 2, Episode 5. In today's episode, we're going to focus on mirrors and a specific phenomenon called the strange face illusion. But before we get to that, I have a couple of updates. First of all, we've reached 2,000 followers on Twitter. I'm really, really excited about that. My Twitter handle, again, is BrattonJC. Feel free to follow me. I will follow you back. And basically, the community of people that tend to follow me are people who are in the writing community or people who are, you know, big fans of the horror genre. So you don't have to be in those communities necessarily, but if you're listening to this podcast, most likely you're into that kind of genre. So feel free to go ahead and follow me. I'll follow you back. I'm really hoping to get to about 3,000 followers by the end of June. And I've also applied to have my account verified. So keep your fingers crossed that they'll accept that. But in the meantime, it's really, really great. And thank you all for following me in case some of you who are listening are one of my followers. Again, at BrattonJC. Now, the second thing that I wanted to mention was I just received a review recently for Dollhouse, and it's an interesting one. It's a 1-star review, and again, I have no problems. You know, people are going to like the book, not like the book. Get it, understand it. That's just how it's going to be. But what's very, very interesting is this, okay? So even though I say it's a book, I guess I should preface it that Dollhouse is really a short story. It's a very, very bite-sized short story. I intended it that way. I wanted it to be more along the lines of flash fiction. You're kind of in and out. That's how it was intended to be. Specifically, if you want to purchase it on Amazon, it actually tells you that it's 25 pages, okay? And, you know, that 25 pages from the beginning to end, you know, it might even include cover page or whatnot, right? But still, it's short. It should be understood that it's short. And unfortunately, the way it works with Amazon is that I am kind of forced to charge a certain amount based on the cost for printing. For Dollhouse, I thought it was more effective to make it in color because I have photos embedded within the story. So it just made it nicer to be in color. So unfortunately, the baseline price is $9.99 for the story. Again, not my choosing. It's because it's being distributed through Amazon. But anyway, it's very clear that it's a short story. And it's also very clear it's for children. It's under children's scary stories. Okay, so keep those things in mind. So the person comes back, and I think the person posted on both Goodreads and on Amazon, gave me 1 star and said that this was like it was written for an 11-year-old. This was only, it only took 5 minutes to read. It's ridiculous that I had to spend $10 for this. This should have been a 200-page book. This should have been much more involved, blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. And I mean, like I said, I get it. No one has to like your story. I mean, when you're writing and you're throwing yourself out there, you're going to have criticism and you have to accept it. No worries. I really don't mind that. What bothers me is that it's very clear and very transparent that one, it's a bite-sized short story, flash fiction. It clearly says on Amazon that it's only about 25 pages. And again, it's clearly for children. It's a children's horror story. It's even is in that category. And I've posted on so many different places that it's for children, 12 and up. My gosh, it's not like, I just don't quite understand that specific review. Again, love you guys. Thank you for giving me reviews. Thank you for giving me criticism, whether it's positive or negative. No worries at all. But come on, just if you're going to criticize me, be thoughtful about it and don't look like an idiot, okay? Okay, so I'm back from my little tirade about trolls when it comes to reviews of my short stories, but we'll get past that. Now let's go ahead and talk about the main subject of this specific podcast, which is mirrors and creepy mirrors in that respect. So what's happening is that I'm working on another article with regards to different tropes within horror, and I'm looking into creepy mirrors. And while I was doing research on this, I found some really interesting things. Well, first of all, mirrors have been the source of superstition, you know, since the ancient times. Romans believed that mirrors or any kind of reflective surface were reflections of the human soul. And breaking a mirror would result in damaging the soul, and mistreatment could lead to the souls being lost. Similarly, for Victorians, when a relative passed away, mirrors were covered with heavy, dark cloth or veiling to prevent the deceased spirit from getting trapped. And also, many cultures across the globe feel that mirrors are gateways to other worlds and possibly even watch you as you watch it. So this has really captivated people and has even gone as far as being captivated by research scientists. So in 2010, there was an Italian psychologist named Giovanni Caputo of the University of Urbino in Italy, and he found that when people stare at their own reflection in a dimly lit room for an extended period of time, many of them experience a sort of dissociation, and it's called the strange face illusion. So let's talk a little bit about what the strange face illusion is about, actually. So and Scientific American, they actually posted a whole story regarding this. It's called Locking Eyes with a Monster, and this is from 2019. And in it, they kind of describe a little bit more about that experiment from Mr. Caputo. So it says, a man and woman sit down facing each other in a dimly illuminated room. It's the first time that they actually meet, and they're about to become, you know, intensely familiar with each other. So the researcher informs them that the purpose of the study was to understand the perception of the face of another person. The two participants were to gaze at each other's eyes for about 10 minutes straight while maintaining a neutral face expression and paying attention to their partner's face. After getting these instructions, researchers kind of step back and let the participants, you know, continue. So the two volunteers settled with their seats and their locked eyes, feeling a little awkward at first, but then suppressing their uncomfortable smiles to comply with the scientists' directions. 10 minutes had seemed like long stretches to look deeply in each other's eyes, especially when they're strangers, but time started to lose its meaning after a while. Sometimes the young couple felt that they were looking at things from outside their own bodies. Other times it seemed as if the moment contained a lifetime. But throughout their close encounter, each member experienced their partner's faces as ever-changing. Human features became animal traits, and things started transforming or transmorphing. There were eyeless faces and faces with too many eyes. Semblances of dead relatives materialized, and so forth. So this whole bizarre phenomenon is related to this thing called strange face illusion. And so to go into detail about when Caputo actually did the study with regards to mirrors, let's take a look here. So Caputo asked about 50 subjects to gaze at their own reflective faces in a mirror for a 10-minute session. After less than a minute, most observers began to perceive this strange face illusion. The participants' descriptions included huge deformations of their own faces, seeing the faces of alive or deceased parents, archetypal faces such as an old woman, child, or portrait of an ancestor, animal faces such as a cat or a pig or a lion, and even fantastical and monstrous beings. All 50 participants reported feelings of otherness when confronted with a face that seemed suddenly unfamiliar. Some felt powerful emotions. So if you go back and think about that, you know, the whole phenomenon of Bloody Mary, which of course has been the topic of many of my stories, but that whole Bloody Mary urban legend is sort of the same sort of thing, right? So you're staring into a mirror, and then you might feel that you're seeing some sort of strange phenomenon based on this whole idea of the strange face illusion. So in subsequent research, Caputo actually observed that the strange face phenomenon was not limited to just reflections in the mirror, but also extended to other people's faces. Like, for example, just in the beginning of this tale about that couple that looks into each other's eyes and starts seeing various illusions when it comes to a dimly lit room. So most recently, there was a study published in the Journal of Trauma and Dissociation where Caputo actually sought to test a large sample of participants, which comprise about 90 healthy adults. And the participants' population included some portrait artists who were able to actually artistically depict their perceptual experiences. And four of their portraits included like a stranger with a weird eyewear, a monkey woman, an alien face, and a cartoonish human rabbit face. So the mechanisms for underlying these strange face phenomenon are somewhat obscure. The perceptual vanishing of objects and scenes during prolonged gazing, which is known as trochs or fading, could be part of the explanation. So when we stare at an unchanged face for a long period of time, or our own face in a mirror, or a face of a person sitting in front of us, our visual neurons actually decrease their activity, making the facial features fade and disappear, and then reappear when we blink or move our eyes. So in the absence of such visual information, our brain is bound to fill in the gaps according to our neural wiring, expectations and experiences, and sometimes with fantastical results. So if you think about that, it's the same sort of phenomenon when, so say for example, you're blind in one eye. Well, what happened is that you're not just kind of seeing only a partial view. Your brain sort of fills in the gaps, so you actually see a full view, but you're still blind in one eye. So it's the same sort of phenomenon where the brain sort of fills in the gaps. So anyway, future research, you know, is bound to offer some kind of more interesting insights with regards to these illusions, but it's very, very interesting to know that you get a bit of scientific explanation regarding it, but at the same time, obviously that creepiness factor of mirrors, of staring at one's face, and that kind of gateway to another realm is always kind of the underlying superstition with regards to mirrors. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I thought it was an interesting little study. You can find this information online. Caputo's experiment is actually online, the full experiment where he explains in detail how he conducts it. And he's got various iterations, like I mentioned, where, you know, it's the mirror version. Then there's also the version where people are just staring in each other's eyes. He's also got some studies with regards to people who have depression versus people who don't, and how they react differently with regards to the mirror situation, and then also just staring at another person and how the distortion may affect them. So just thought I'd mention all this. Hopefully that you find that fascinating. I do. And we'll talk more in a bit. Okay, thank you for listening to this episode of Things That Go Bump in the Night. I'll be back in a few weeks with episode number 6, which will be the last episode of season 2. And then we're going to come back with a new sort of theme for the next season afterwards. So again, thank you for all your support. Feel free to follow me at BrattonJC on both Twitter and Instagram. And again, I really hope to reach 3,000 followers on Twitter by the end of June. So definitely follow me if you can. So thank you very much.